Hello again, Chris Lee and Alfred Esmond here to talk some College World Series. The Kentucky Wildcats make their first trip to Omaha, a 45-14 record, co-champs of the Southeastern Conference. NC State making one of a few trips to Omaha. The Wolfpack had a really nice run through the postseason, just took two of three from Georgia and Athens. Really tough place to win, but this is a very balanced NC State squad. I think we're in for a terrific matchup between these two teams. We'll get into that in just a second. But first, a reminder, we are brought to you by BetOnline, your number one source for the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup playoffs this season. Every stat, every matchup, even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino. Get in on a game of blackjack or poker. Unwind with one of our over 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get in on all the action. Use the promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online. The game starts here. Well, let's talk about the SEC side of the matchup, Alfred. Nick Mangione, our coach of the year, as we voted in our two-man poll composed of the two of us here. But I don't think anybody was disputing that. Mangione has taken Kentucky to Omaha for the first time. He's got excitement level around Kentucky baseball like we have never seen it before. The Cats were just so balanced. Pitching, defense, running, all those things. In fact, running is what won them the Super Regional. We'll get to that in just a minute. But let's start with the offensive end of the lineup with Kentucky. This was a team that just hit top to bottom. It fielded very well. It stole bases. Back to the running part. Kentucky scored the winning run in the Super Regional on a wild pitch from second base. This is a lineup that just, I think, more than any team in the field of Omaha, plays to the park better than anybody because it's got a lot of foul territory. It is not a home run hitting park for the most part. I just think so many things play to Kentucky's strengths in this matchup. And again, that lineup was so tough to pitch to top to bottom this year.
Yeah, and they got to be feeling good. I mean, they swept their way through their own regional and then really handled business in their super against Oregon State. That was just getting on base and overwhelming that squad with good pitching. And that's really been the name of the game for Nick Mangione and this team all season. It's why, you know, he's in the position he's in. He was very emotional about getting them to Omaha. He's pumped up just as the rest of those players are. And I mean, yeah, they just flat out get on base through hitting or, you know, by other means necessary. And that's going to help them with foul territory. I mean, if you're a team and you commit some throwing errors, throwing people out at first, Kentucky's going to get some bases off of it because of how big the foul territory is. And the park plays into how they play, and that's the biggest thing. And I think that if it actually turns out to be that way with it being, you know, pitcher favored, it can work out in Kentucky's favor and they can go very far in Omaha.
Yeah. The two main names in the lineup, Ryan Waldschmidt, probably their best hitter, 14 home runs, 24 stolen bases, just went on a tear at the end of the season. Enters the tournament with a 475 on base percentage, 473, slug 634. The other guy in that lineup, Ryan Nicholson, their leading home run hitter, the Cincinnati transfer, 21 home runs. But you go through the lineup, Nicky Lopez, one of the better DHs in the league, the USC transfer, on base percentage of 407, slug 553. Mitchell Daly, manned a really nice third, made some good plays in the regional, the Texas transfer, Emilian Petre, one of the second best second basemen in the SEC, stole 25 bases. You just go up and down the lineup. You like your catchers to steal bases. Devin Burks got you 19 of those. That's not something you see often. Just really love this lineup. And I think our question with Kentucky was on the pitching, Alfred. The pitching kind of waned for this team late in the year. It was not a team that had a dominant rotation going down the stretch. I mean, the rotation of Pouzer, Moore, and Niemann was really good most of the year. And I feel like mid-April on, they started to struggle other than Pouzer. But you saw Moore throw really well in the NCAA tournament so far. You saw the reemergence, a little bit of Johnny Hummel, who was their closer, who was dominant until he just really hit a rough patch. Then they found Cameron O'Brien, who pitched really well for them and got their bigger outs. But it wasn't just that. They had Hogan and Hagenow and some other guys too. And Kentucky is a team that keeps the ball on the ground. And it's got an outfield that can cover some ground. So I think, again, you're looking at a pitching staff that, that should do okay in this format, I think.
Yeah, they're a tough team to, you know, get on base against. You know, they kind of don't let you do what they do on offense. I mean, other guys out of the bullpen too. Cam O'Brien, 3.94 ERA. He did really good in that final Oregon State game, in a game that was really close and within striking distance for the Beavers the whole time, and they just never could do it because he was, you know, he was recording outs left and right for however long he stayed in. And then you have other guys too. Travis Smith is a guy who could go, you know, a lot of innings as well out of the bullpen and stuff like that. And I think that's the biggest thing is if Kentucky's pitching holds up like it has been, not only just with the starters, but with the bullpen when they come in later, they'll find themselves doing good. And, you know, I have full faith now in guys like Pouzer and Moore going lots of innings into games. Like, I don't know if we'll see Kentucky have opens, you know, against their will during this tournament. I think it'll be, they'll be within their own control when it comes to their pitching. And once again, it's going to be a tough thing to play against. And they have some power hitting teams and on their side with Florida and A&M as well, if we're going beyond this game. And if they can stop them from getting that long ball done, then they'll find themselves getting some wins.
Speaking of teams tough to pitch to, NC State's got some hitters. Jacob Cozart, their catcher, really like him. Garrett Pennington hit 18 home runs, one fewer than Cozart hit. Eli Serrano, their center fielder, 9 home runs. I feel like he had some good games in the NCAA tournament. You know, they don't run as much as Kentucky because who does? But they did hit, 99 home runs this year, hit a bunch of those in Athens, a place where the ball gets out pretty quickly. This will be a tough lineup to pitch to. It's not Tennessee where they hit 170 home runs or whatever that number was going into the tournament, or even some of the other teams on the other side of the bracket. But this team hit pretty well in its own right with three guys with at least 18 bombs or more.
Yeah, and you know their main power hitter, Alec Markowitz, he had a home run in that final game as well. 22 home runs on the season for him, slugging .744. And on base, he gets on base at a .439 rate. So he does very well with that as well. And then Serrano had a big catch in that game 3 in Athens. It was the only game Monday night to determine the final spot in Omaha. And, you know, Georgia, you know, when you have a four run or less lead on the Bulldogs, if they hit a home run, they're right back in it. And Condon had one late sort of to, like, you know, send his career off in Athens with that. But Serrano robbed another home run as well. That was huge, huge in keeping NC State's lead. And NC State's a team that could field. I mean, I think their fielding really came out in Athens in that super regional a little bit, you know, in stopping Georgia, especially in that first game when they won 18-1. So if NC State's on their A game, it creates a tough matchup for Kentucky as well. So if both teams come to the park ready to play, I think we're going to get possibly one of the best first games of the weekend.
I agree too. And I think this is a tough team over a postseason format because it's got some pitching depth. You got a couple of starters here. Sam Highfield, who's been there, I remember pitched in Omaha 4 years ago. So he's been around the block in a number of postseason appearances. Had a 5.06 ERA through 80 innings. And again, average ERA in college baseball right now is in the sixes. And the ACC saw a lot of runs. So I know that's an ERA that people would mostly sneeze at, but Sam Heifel's been around, pitched a lot of quality baseball. Dominic Fritton, also one of their rotation guys, he and Heifel each made 16 starts. But I think the thing that really stands out to us was their bullpen. They have several guys who can go what we call jumbo outings, which is, you know, 3, 4, sometimes 5 innings and give you quality stuff. And I think they threw 6 guys in the regional, which was really a key to them advancing in a regional that included South Carolina, a team that we liked here.
Yeah, very much so. And there's, you know, again, all these pitchers can provide quality starts. Dom Fritton pitched the loss in Athens against Georgia. They had to force a game 3, but, you know, we've seen him pitch very good games. And I think obviously the choice they're going to go against Kentucky is Highfill. I think we're going to get Highfill and Pouzer on the mound going at each other. And that's going to be an exceptional pitching matchup between those two. And yeah, like you said, if you look at the bullpen, they have a ton of guys that can go many, many innings. Shane Van Dam, 37 1/3 this year. Fanning as well is a high leverage guy. They have Hollis Fanning, 17 innings. He does have that high 7.41 ERA. But like you said, Chris, you know, at this point in college baseball and with playing in the ACC, you're going to have that. But he's a guy they can use in leverage as well. And Derek Smith was someone who was really impressive. I don't know if he was necessarily a high jumbo inning guy, but he was in that game three against Georgia. And, you know, he came in and pitched very well late in that game when Georgia, you know, was kind of almost knocking on the door. So it's a deep pitching staff, deeper than people would like to think. I know people who watch our channel in the SEC don't necessarily get their fill of NC State baseball throughout the season, but that's what they provide. They provide a pretty good, you know, a pretty good amount of pitching depth. That's a challenge for any lineup they face, including Kentucky's.
Yeah. And the other thing too, I really like Jacob Cozard. He does a good job of controlling the running game, only 27 steals in 40 attempts. So that's something to watch for, given that we know how much Kentucky's going to want to run. So I think this is a terrific matchup. I think my concern for Kentucky is it's never been on the stage. And Elliott Avent's been to Omaha a few times, including everybody knows how it ended, unfortunately, in 2021 with the COVID disqualification, which I thought was really unfair, but that's the way it went down. In any case, yeah, you've got a team with tradition in history. I remember watching Avent's teams when they had Trey Turner and Carlos Rodon. They've sent some dudes to the big leagues who did stuff. And Kentucky, kind of an up-and-coming program. But the thing I like about the Cats, a lot of these guys have played a lot of ball a lot of places. Nicky Lopez, Walt Schmidt's played a lot of ball at Kentucky. What you talked about, Nicholson and his experience at Cincinnati. This is an old team, and I think this is almost a toss-up matchup. I guess it's my belief in Kentucky. You know, you go 22-8, you win the SEC, you've done something. And I like the way that their pitching's gotten more on track. I'm going to take Kentucky. I think the Cats can get to the semifinals of this event. But would I be surprised if NC State won this game and even it was the team to advance to the finals out of this group? No, I wouldn't be at all. I think this is a really balanced College World Series. My guess is our picks are going to get shredded pretty quickly because it's evenly matched, and that's what happens in baseball. But if you make me make a pick, I'll take Kentucky to win this game and be among the last four standing in Omaha.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, too. The thing, you know, if you look at NC State and their stolen bases, I think a good way you beat Kentucky is kind of, you know, go toe-to-toe for them on the base paths like they can. And NC State doesn't have the same amount of guys that can steal bases. I looked at Kentucky. Kentucky had seven guys in their lineup in double figures in stolen bases, including, you know, Devin Burks, your catcher, which, like you said, Chris, is very rare. And if you look at State, they have a few guys that are stolen base threats. I mean, Markowitz, 25, Pennington with 26. You go down the list, Brandon Butterworth with 12. He's their shortstop. And I think, you know, they have a few guys. You know, Kentucky needs to keep, you know, their heads on a swivel when they're on first base and they're looking to get in the scoring position. But I think, you know, if Poozer, Moore, and whoever else, or I think if Poozer and the rest of this infield is on edge, you know, constantly and kind of manages how they play defensively on the base paths while they're succeeding there, that's going to be a game changer in this game. And that makes me take Kentucky, but I'm with you. I think if NC State can hit the ball like they did in Athens, you know, on games they won, not the game they lost, then NC State may come out on top here. But if I'm right there with you, if I'm forced to take a pick, I'm going to take Kentucky just because of how in control they've been throughout this tournament. And I think that'll continue at least for the time being once they get to Omaha.
Yeah, I think Markowitz was actually one of two. The guys that were the threats were Butterworth and Nixon. You're like me. You're reading a stat sheet. There's a lot of columns.
Yeah.
Looking at the sheet and looking back at the screen. I've made that mistake too. But yeah, I mean.
You're right. Sorry.
I think it's more power against base stealing. And again, State can shut that down. I think it's a terrific matchup. No outcome would really surprise me. We got to make picks. That's what people tune in for. And we kind of love this Kentucky team, but NC State has been really impressive in its run through the postseason too. And again, you kind of just root for good baseball. And I think we're going to see a lot of that in Omaha this year. So
absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're looking forward to breaking it down. We will probably have a reaction Sunday night. I'll be out of town this weekend. We will be talking about some of these games that just may not be same night. So best way to get that, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. That helps our analytics and enabling notifications. So when we put something out, you'll see it. Anyway, for Alfred Esmond, I'm Chris Lee. We are Southeastern 14 presented by Bet Online.